that.
You guys end up getting married.
Yes. Sure, it was quick. 11 months from the time of us meeting to the time we got married. Mm-hmm. It was 11 months.
And life was going well.
Oh, it was much more than I could have ever dreamed of. They brought me into this little room. It seemed like an eternity. The doctor comes in with the whole team of people. And he was...
And then that's when you found out that he was gone, right? There is nothing about a woman of God that is weak if she'll tap into the one that you lean on now, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Hello. Welcome to your world. You know, nearly 90% of Americans have experienced a traumatic event in their lives. And often they are left with unanswered questions, wondering, how could this happen? Or where was God? What happens when tragedy results in the loss of a loved one and you are left behind to pick up the pieces? Now, our guest today led what many would consider a fairy tale life. Fallon Bonner and her husband, Nikki, seemed to have it all. He was a prestigious lawyer. She ran a successful home business. They had a newborn baby, were faithful in church, and in their ministry, encouraging singles to wait on God just like they did. They had a love story set up for the happily ever after. But then tragedy struck. Just a few months ago, a fatal car accident took the life of her husband, Nikki, before their wedding anniversary. Now today, you're going to hear Fallon Barner's heartbreaking journey, her struggles, and how she got through it all. She found an inner strength to move forward. I'm Creflo Dollar, and it's all right here, right now, on Your World. Well, welcome back. Now, Fallon is here with us today, an unexpected single mom with real questions that need real solutions. Now, we're with her to talk through those questions today. Please welcome to Your World, Fallon Bonner. There she go, walking out here like a mom.
Good to see you. Thank you, Pastor.
First of all, you know, we want to welcome you today, but I am so grateful that you have the courage to come and allow us to go into your world. Give us a summary of everything that happened, and then I'm going to do something I've never done before. In fact, I'll do it now. Normally, I have the questions, but I'm going to turn the questions over to you today. And I'm here as an instrument to try to help answer those questions.
Okay.
And in doing so, we're going to help answer the same questions that the television audience have, some people in this audience has. But kind of bring us up to date. Who are you? What's the situation? And what recently happened?
Okay. So my husband and I, well, I'll start with myself. So I was actually... at home, well, I wasn't a stay-at-home mom at first. Mm-hmm. I was working, and I was a clinical neurophysiologist. I was making great money, and, you know, life was good, you know, before I met Nikki, before I met my husband. And I was just waiting, praying, waiting, trusting God, you know, practicing celibacy, just really trying my best to do it His way. And I had read this book called Choosing God's Best, and so I was like, you know, God, I want your best. I don't want a good choice. I want a God choice. So I began to really just spend my time with Him. And in the process, Nikki came. We met at a mutual friend's birthday dinner. Like they say, you know, it happened when I least expected. I wasn't expecting to meet him that night. I was all about pouring into my friend. And long story short, Nikki ended up sending me a friend request on Facebook. And the rest is history. So
the rest is
history.
That's so amazing because you wouldn't think you would have the relationship you guys had from that first meeting.
Exactly.
So you guys end up getting married.
Yes. Sure. It was quick. 11 months from the time of us meeting to the time we got married. Mm-hmm. It was 11 months.
And life was going well.
Oh, it was much more than I could have ever dreamed of. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I was like, okay, I want to be married. I want to have this life. But I mean, Nikki just was amazing. Marriage was fun.
I'm going to skip all the way over now to Nikki's accident.
Mm-hmm. That Saturday morning, I got up to go to the hair salon. Mm-hmm. And I went, when I was coming back from the hair salon, my mom came over. Nikki wasn't feeling well, so my mom, I asked her, can she come over and watch Nicholas? Mm-hmm. She came over. She asked me, she said, where's Nikki? I said, oh, he's laying down. He has a headache. She said, okay. She said, well, I'll be here. You know, take your time, whatever. I went to the hair salon. I remember I was talking to one of my girlfriends, and I came on the phone. I remember telling her, let me call you right back. I'm getting ready to walk in, and I need to get my son and get him settled. I'll call you back. She said, okay. So I walked in, and I asked my mom, and I was like, so we laughing. My mom and I stood, like, in the dining room area for a good 10, 15 minutes just chatting and laughing and talking. I'm like, where's Nikki? And she said, I said, oh, is he laying down? She was like, no, he went to the gym. And I said, he went to the gym? And I said, okay. I was like, well, I'm going to walk the dog, and Nicholas and I will walk over to the gym to see if he, you know, just to check on him or whatever. She's like, okay. I was getting ready to turn around and walk off, and I had my phone started ringing. And it was a number I didn't recognize. So I picked up the phone. I was like, hello. He's like, you know, is this Ms. Bonner? And I said, yes. And he's like, are you the wife of Nikki Bonner? I said, yes. And he was like, we need you to come down to Grady. And I was like, what do you mean, come to Grady? He was like, I can't. And I was like, what is this about? And he said, I can't talk about it. I can't tell you about it over the phone. So, of course, instantly fear came in. My heart dropped. I remember looking around for my mom, like, did she leave yet? And my mom was in the restaurant next door. And so I ran over, and I was just kind of like, almost like out of breath. And I was just like, you know, Nikki's at Grady. They told me they don't know. And I'm like stumbling over my words. And she was like, just calm down. Everything is okay. Let's head down there. So I called my sister who's in medical school. And I said, you know, I'm preparing for the worst just because they can't tell me over the phone. She said, no, that's just protocol. So we're just going to believe God, you know, just head down. So I call one of my girlfriends. She didn't answer. I ended up calling her husband. And I said, I was just praying in the spirit, because the Holy Spirit just like praying in the spirit. So I'm praying in the spirit. I'm telling him, like, hey, I don't know what's going on. I'm headed to the hospital, but I don't know what's going on with Nikki. And he said, okay. So he started praying. We get down to the hospital. The guy was pretty rude to me, you know, but it was just like you see it on the movies. They brought me into this little room. It seemed like an eternity. The doctor comes in with the whole team of people. And he was
And then that's when you found out that he was gone, right? You know, I want to take a break. And we wanted to take this first part to allow you into her world. That way you can understand the questions. And when we come back, I'm going to allow Fallon to ask me the questions that are now in her heart and in her head as a result of what happened. Why do bad things seem to happen to good people with faith, who's practicing faith, who's believing God? Let's take a break, and I'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for you to experience the supernatural results that God has always wanted you to have. I have partnered with some of the most prolific teachers on the planet, like Michael Smith, Andrew Womack, Gregory Dickow, Trisha Gunn, and my wife, Taffy Dollar, to help you do just that. So be sure to join us at this year's Grace Life Conference for a time of intense study and meditation in God's Word. This life-changing experience is one that you don't want to miss. For more information and to register, visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org, and I look forward to seeing you there. Welcome back. You know, so many emotions and memories as you were sharing that, and just really gave us a good idea of, you know, where you guys were and the awesome man of God that Nikki was, husband, father. But in the midst of all of that, especially as a Christian, mm-hmm.
who's practicing your faith, who's walking in the Word of God, and you're not getting the results that you thought you would get, there are questions that arise. Mm-hmm. Let's begin.
Okay. So my first question is, why would God be faithful giving me a husband, but then take him away after such a short time, especially just after having a child? Our son was 13 months old at his father's death. I know that God didn't cause this to happen to Nikki, but I know he allowed it to happen.
You know, a lot of times when situations occur, we ask ourselves, why did God allow this thing to happen? I did an interview not too long ago where we learned about the last day of Martin Luther King Jr. and the day when he was on his way to Memphis. And of course, you know, that was the day that he was assassinated. But what we didn't know was what happened at home. His children all of a sudden were like, don't go, Daddy. They did things like stand in front of him, held his legs. Don't go, Daddy. Stand in front of the door. Don't go, Daddy. And they went so far as to jump on the hood of the car.
Wow.
Don't go, Daddy. And, you know, his comment was, I don't think I've ever seen them act like that before. Wonder what that was all about. Well, when I get back, I'll rearrange my schedule so I can make sure I spend some time with them. And, of course, we know he never came back. What would have happened if there would have been a little bit more spiritual insight, if you back up and see what happened beforehand and being a little bit more sensitive and said, you know what, I'm not going to go. I've seen things like that happen over and over again. I don't believe that any type of tragedy or death takes place without you being able to back up and locate something that was a warning that said, don't do this again, don't do that again. Because we are free moral agents, God cannot and will never violate or interfere with the right to choose anything. Even if those choices somehow lead you down the negative path, he will do everything within his power, as long as it doesn't violate your free will, to try to get a message down to you. And so I guess the question I want to ask you is, can you recall anything that happened prior to that time that may have served as a warning to make the adjustment or don't do this again? Do you recall anything
Absolutely.
Like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so what happens sometimes is when we don't make the adjustments, when we don't realize that there's got to be a change here, and then we continue down that same road or pattern, eventually, even mercy might have been shown here or mercy might have been shown there, and then it's like, whoa, no change. Then it ends up to where it ends up. So that's the first part. You know, that happened with me when I went to Sacramento, California. I knew. That, this is crazy. I knew I wasn't supposed to go. But I said, well, I want to make sure that my integrity is not questioned. Integrity? It's like, don't go. I even said to my son, Jeremy, you can't go on this trip because your physical body is not strong enough. He says, what do you mean, strong enough for what? I said, I don't know. I just kind of came out of my mouth. And when I went there and had that accident, I hadn't been in too many, but the mercy of God was there for me that particular time. And so I made an adjustment. And I said, you know, when God is signaling me not to do something, and the author is talking to me, I'm not going to quote a scripture. Why quote a scripture when the author is talking? There's another guy one time who was in Texas, and God said, wait 10 more minutes before you go. And he said, 10 more minutes. And the guy kept paying. He says, well, the Lord watches over me, and it'll be well. Yeah, but the author of that scripture just said, wait 10 more minutes. He didn't. He went down in 2 minutes and had a horrible accident. Wife died. All kinds of stuff happened. And there again, there was the warning. But in my almost 40 years, I have seen people, and if I can have a chance to talk to them and back them up and explain this to them, I've never seen a situation where I didn't see God prior to that thing trying to say change this. Don't do this. This is mercy. Change it. Don't do it. That's the first thing. The second thing is this, Fallon. And I think you know this. I think you said this. There are three more parties involved.
Exactly.
You know, there's God, there's the devil, and then there's us. You know God is good. We know the devil is bad. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But the part sometimes we don't admit was our decisions to do certain things without paying attention to how God is leading us and what God is showing us. Those things happen because somehow we're not as sensitive as we should be to the warnings that God puts out before us. But then here's the other thing that happens. There won't be wasted seed imparted into the ones that are left behind that have calling on their life. Never will there be wasted seed. So you will take the combination of what God gave you before you met Nikki, what you got while y'all were married, what he imparted into you when you were doing it, and it's going to come together and make this wonderful little picture that you didn't even know was in development, and you will be able to say, like the old songwriter says, we'll understand it better by and by.
Thank you.
Yep. Let's go with the next question.
While pregnant, we discovered our son had spinal bifida even after standing on God's word and praying for his health. My husband would encourage me spiritually, but now he is gone too. How am I supposed to deal with all this loss? First my son's illness, then my husband.
One of the things, you know, I knew I had to be careful of is when we begin to partner with people, even our spouses, we have to make sure that you don't lose, in a sense, your individuality to make sure that you're sensitive to what God is saying to you as well as what he is saying to your spouse. I can use myself with this. You know, God spent a lot of time talking to me about certain things. But then one day he began to reveal this revelation on equality to Taffy, and it blew my mind. And I heard the Lord say, you need to decrease because it's time for her to increase. And I said, well, you know, in what way? How do I do this? He said, in every way where you thought that you being a man had the authority to do it and that she couldn't do it because she was a woman, decrease and watch me bring something that I've never seen before. You see, I never wanted a wife that would rely solely on me because I need her to rely on God and I needed me to rely on God so that when we needed one another, we could begin to eat from that table. And so the question is, how do I do that? And he's gone. And the answer to that is, again, realize who you are. You are not this weak, insignificant woman of God. You are a strong woman with a call on your life. You are a strong woman with an assignment that still stands incomplete. You are a strong woman who God is going to begin to reveal things to, and you will rely on God more than you ever relied on Nikki, and he will strengthen you. He will be the one that you lean on and rely on. And all that you learn through that, you'll begin to share with others who have gone through that. It is the partnership that's, you know, like I had this partnership with this person, and you relied on one another as you should have. But that one individual will never, ever be as great as relying on God.
Amen.
You know, the thing it says, the weaker vessel,
mm-hmm.
Boy, Taffy tears that to pieces. She said, there ain't nothing about a woman that's weak. And the only reason they used that in context was because it was talking about how they married young women. And they were young in that day. And in that day, because of their youth and because of what they didn't have and all that, they were weak in certain areas because they were still coming to a place of maturity. But there is nothing about a woman of God that is weak if she'll tap into the one that you lean on now. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm looking forward to seeing your strength grow like an edifice. And you will then compare and contrast what you were like before you got married during the marriage, and then once you had to lean on him as your rock, you're gonna be awesomely surprised to say, look at me. You'll look in the mirror a little different, like, ooh, God, look what you done raised up. And there'll be nothing. And that means the wisdom that has been made available, the empowerment that you had when two can put 10,000 to flight, didn't leave with Nikki. You're already marked with it. So you have that empowerment that's on the inside of you. And all that you question and have questions about, the wisdom and the might is the ability to do anything, comes upon you. And you're never going to, listen, your partner is always going to be this significant piece of your life. But you have to remember, he ain't God. And what you're leaning on now is the very source and training of what you were directed to in the first place. Eventually, that was going to have to be the decision. Got to lean on God. Well, Fallon, I want to do something. I mean, this has been a special time today, and I want to give you something to just kind of mark what this day was all about. It's a grace covenant. Every now and then I share it with people, and it says, presented on this day, February 24th, to Fallon Bonner. I, Fallon Bonner, accept this grace covenant provided to me by Creflo Dollar and agree with the following statements. I believe Jesus loves me and nothing will ever change that. I believe that grace and the person of Jesus Christ has already provided everything I will need to have a healthy, fulfilling, and prosperous life. I believe everything in my past is in my past. Jesus has chosen not to remember it, and neither will I. I will daily proclaim I'm the righteousness of God. I will daily live by the belief of understanding grace, empowering change to better equip myself for success and to better serve those individuals around me. And I will daily flood my life with the word of God and the praises of his saints. And I am going to sign right above Pastor and Encourager. And if you would, put your name right above the righteousness of God, because that's exactly who you are. You are the righteousness of God. And we really, really, really thank God for that. I hope some of the things we discussed today have helped you too. Coming to terms with the sense of shock and loss is a process, but God has not left you. This program is dedicated to helping real people with real issues find real solutions. When you stand with me, I'm telling you, and I'm not crying or anything, but this has been a powerful time. But when you stand with me, you're helping us to provide hope to people who desperately need it. I know it may to some people seem like it's just a talk show, but the show was designed to provide hope so that people could understand the grace of God and his unmerited, undeserved favor to make the difference in your life. And we pray that it's doing just that. I'll be right back, but watch this and discover impact that you can make in your world and in the lives of others.